Hello. Okay. Well, thank you much for that presentation. That was very intriguing, and thank you very much for the invitation to speak here and the hospitality and the opportunity to discuss this highly pressing issue of the relationship between migration and the nation state in this panel. I would like to take you back to the events of 2015. It's already nearly 2 years ago. To what we have come to call the summer of migration. I believe that this is an important distinction. For usually, the events of 2015 are referred to as the European refugee crisis or the European migration crisis. I would like to make two counterpoints, though. One, if we are to talk about a crisis, we need to talk about the crisis of the European border and migration regime, as it has been unfolding since at least 2011. And two, if we are indeed to talk about the humanitarian crisis, as is implicit in that denomination, of human suffering, we should focus primarily on the multiplicity of effects that the attempts to restabilize the European border and migration regime after 2015 have had. This is why we have insisted on calling the events of 2015 the summer of migration. It highlights that we talk of a particular passage in time with its own past and its own future, during which there existed the structural conditions for such a dynamic to emerge, and furthermore, that this opportunity was seized by the movements of migrations. It was these, indeed, very particular movements of migrations of 2015 that opened up the borders of Europe, even though only temporarily, and claimed what they were denied, even though they were entitled to it, a space of refuge and relative safety, and thus a perspective to even have a future. In order to make this point a little bit more tangible, I would like to show you a few scenes from a short documentary, We Walk Together, a Syrian family's journey to the heart of Europe, which was published by The Guardian on the 10th of September 2015, a mere 6 days after the unprecedented March of Hope, when thousands of refugees and migrants stranded at Keleti train station in Budapest, Hungary, who took to the streets and started walking towards Austria. The March of Hope ultimately led to the opening of the Austrian and German borders for these refugees, and many thousands to follow. The March of Hope, which unfortunately has already faded from public memory, is the tipping point of the summer of migration, when the hitherto invisible migrations become highly visible and thus politicized. The documentary itself follows one particular family as they march towards Austria. To this end, the documentary pursues a rather standard narrative, focusing on a few individuals and their story of plight, hope, and redemption as they finally arrive at Munich train station, images you might still have in your memory. Also, the soundtrack contributes immensely to highlighting the viewer's empathy and emotional state in general. It's difficult, I say, to watch the documentary without shedding at least one little tear. But I would not like to reproduce this narrative here, as uplifting as it might finally be. What really irked my interest is that underneath this narrative, we can detect subtle traces pointing at hidden figures and connections. I will show you two excerpts from the documentary. The first shows the march starting in Budapest at the train station, while the second is during the first night, so a couple of hours later, on the highway about 40 kilometers outside of Budapest, where the march comes to its conclusion, as you will see. Can we have the video?
نحن رايحين نطلع مشي ناقصنا كل شيء حاج نوي بالشوارع تحت البرد واطفال صغار بدنا نمشي ننفع
ننفع يلا ننفع يلا نمشي يلا
حمود
هنجاري الشعب الهنجاري ممتاز
حكومه
اما حكومه
صرنا 4 أيام رايحين على النمسا بيضحكوا علينا بيركبونا بالقطار بياخذونا على الكامل بيضربوا العلم وبيبصموهم يرجعوا لهون شو ليش؟ ما بنعرف احتمال مال ما يمسكونا رايحين نتوكل على الله وماشيين.
We want to go to Germany because we have we could have our rights. You are welcome there.
We are sorry of the Hungarian people because we are crossing the roads in the red line.
ما بعرف تمشوا على الخارطة انتوا بتعرفوا حالكم وين ماشيين.
طيب هاي احنا بدنا نروح هلا بس بدي النمسا
احنا ما بدنا نمشي لحالنا روح امشي.
We're going to Austria.
Whoa.
I don't know. But we are walking.
Where are you going now?
No, I don't know.
It's beautiful. And this is a true route to Vienna.
Yalla, yalla,
yalla.
Romantic movies and the couple have children and they live peacefully.
تعبانين بس مبسوطين. تعبانين بس ما نحسين بالتعب. المهم إن إحنا حنوصل على النمسا. من النمسا حنوصل على ألمانيا. يعني قد إيه حتكون 8 ساعات 10 ساعات. نحن أمين.
يا أخبار كتير حلوة. يا أخبار كتير حلوة.
News has reached the refugees that under international pressure, the Hungarian government is sending buses to take them to the border. But panic starts to spread through the group that they are being tricked, and the buses will take them to a Hungarian camp instead.
نكفي مع بعض ونمشي مع بعض.
شوف مسيب شوف مسيب شوف واحد مين مسيب.
To convince everybody, the refugees decide to send the first bus ahead and wait for it to report back from the border.
Don't worry, I know my people. I know how they're thinking.
Eventually, the call they are waiting for comes through.
Yeah, give me the Arabic person.
Yeah, اسمعي. هلا بتقول للعالم، بتقول للعالم وين صرتوا، ماشي؟ بتقول للعالم وين صرتوا، انا حاطط لك على الميكروفون.
هلا على الطريق، بدنا نسوي على ضيعة اسمها هيكو سالو، تمام؟ هي ضيعة حدودية. بس الطريق انا متابع جي بي اس 100% لهلا صح.
شكرا شكرا كثير لك. يلا هلا لحقكم شغلي. الباصات لما رح تجي بدي صفكم 50-50. بتمشي اولاد؟ بيجوا لعند 8 صف.
Sorry for the little abrupt end, but okay. I don't know if you have noticed the yellow hats, especially visible in the second part. I think what we understand from these short scenes is that this literal movement, which was depicted in the first part, cannot be seen as a mere conglomerate of individuals and families, but indeed a movement in a political sense. For as you saw, the signal to start the march, the logistics on the way, the negotiations with the police, the distrust when the buses arrive, and the decision to send some people ahead to see where the buses will actually go, all of this would scantily come without some serious organizing and decision-making effort. As much as I would like to be able to tell the story of how the March of Hope was organized, I unfortunately also do not know. But I believe it is fair to assume that amongst those marching, there were at least a decent share of activists who had been engaged in fighting and resisting the Assad regime in Syria for many years, and who in the course of doing this had to face adversaries far stronger, far more determined, and far more brutal than what they were facing at Europe's borders. Organizing a peaceful march in Hungary, despite all that we hear about the mounting repression in that country, must have been one of the easier challenges. And aside from what we can recognize as political organization, the resolve and determination to claim their very rights is palpable throughout the documentary. So I believe indeed we are right to discard the notion of the European refugee crisis, which suggests a stream of refugees flooding. Thank you for the reference to the hydraulic metaphors yesterday. So a stream of refugees flooding into Europe. Rather, I believe we should dig deeper into an understanding of migration as a social and political movement. This does not necessarily entail to recode every actual physical movement of migration as a political act per se. The March of Hope, perhaps one of the rare events when a rather Western understanding of political organization coincided with other notions, such as Aseb Bayat's Life as Politics, not only led to the opening of the borders in Austria and Germany for refugees, it was also followed swiftly by the establishment of what we call the Corridor, a transient infrastructure of migrant mobility throughout the Balkans, which transported hundreds of thousands from Greece to Austria, Germany, and Scandinavia. While not always functioning seamlessly and full of moments of exclusion, arbitrary exclusion itself, for the majority of people traveling the corridor, the journey must have been rather uneventful compared to what journeys they were mastering before. Dull, perhaps even somewhat boring. A quick 24-hour transit from the south of Europe to its north, just how ordinary travel, how ordinary mobility is really supposed to be. The states along the corridor, Macedonia, Serbia, Hungary, and later Croatia and Slovenia, were fast to set a coordination mechanism and facilitate the transit of thousands of refugees. After decades of death and deadlock at the external borders, the March of Hope really forced a direct route from the borders of Europe to its very core. The political character of migration does not lie in the characteristic of mobility, but in its antagonistic relation with what we have come to understand as the border regime, that is the network of actors, institutions, architectures, legislation, even discourse targeted at inhibiting, decelerating, facilitating, in short, governing specific mobilities. And this is also why to understand and to follow the struggle of and conflicts along Europe's borders is so important in order to make sense of the direction of the European project in general and the direction it is taking. For Europe's borders, as harsh and deadly as they often are, at the same time constitute an immense contact zone, not only with the neighboring regions, but with the world in total. To sketch this out for the present, with the summer of migration, the upheavals of the Arab Spring, which started 6 years ago, have arrived in the European Union for the third time. The first instance was the collapse of the Euro-Mediterranean border regime with the fall of the different dictatorships of the Maghreb in 2011, which in turn initiated the crisis of the larger border and migration regime in Europe. It was followed by the democratic uprising, vaulting the Mediterranean to become the movements of the square, most visible in Spain and in Greece, and which have left a different mark of hope on the continent. But just as the movements of the squares has ultimately faded in the protracted euro crisis, the summer of migration has turned into a renewed policy of strengthened borders and repressive legislation. At the borders of Europe, we can witness an increased fracturing of the European space with the multiplication of legal orders, special zones, and a continued rhetoric of emergency and exception. This, I would contend, puts the European project as a whole at risk. If the notion of a homogeneous and ideally inclusive political space is abandoned, and the coming initiatives of Europeanizations will be led by alliances of nations as they see fit, we will all be in trouble in the end. But the summer of migration was the appropriate and necessary challenge to the European border and migration regime and the European project. The supranational EU itself grappling with defining its relation to the national state is based on the internal principle of freedom of movement. It was and is the necessary precondition for the European project, and at the same time, redefining inner European migration as simple mobility. Now, I would say a similar discussion about the relation between the EU and the globe is necessary. For this relation must not be governed by the rationales of the highly selective border regime governing Europe's borders and Europe's contact zones today. Thank you very much.